Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Declaration of Restrictive Covenant states, in part, to preserve the effect of the master plan and that the property be held subject to the master plan restrictions, all of which are set for below. It goes on to reference all exhibits of the OLF 8 ordinance codified into Escambia County law. Section 7.2.A of the purchase and sale agreement directly contradicts this effort by stating the parties agree that the DPZ design code must be modified to account for market, economic, and engineering conditions not contemplated when the DPZ design code was created. How can a restrictive deed or covenant be adopted and enforced against an approved future change of a design code with unknown metrics? Let's at least define the areas of expected changes first.
This is a really smart criticism by John Moore, who's a resident, I think, of in the vicinity of OLF 8. I think he lives on Bueller Road. This is in the OLF 8 discussion. Of course, they end up signing the contract, agreeing to the deal, unanimously taking the last survivor, basically, of the various companies that have come, or organizations that have come forth to try to bid on this project. But yeah, what he's saying is, if we're going to have a layout design code in the deed, right, that you cannot build contrary to that, you know, you have to follow these rules. But we are also in this contract saying in advance we're going to change those rules. Well, which is it? I mean, you can't have it both ways. You either have these rules and have to obey them, or any of these rules could change. Now, it's understandable because I think most everybody recognizes that some elements of the master plan are going to need to change. But, of course, the people who have kind of been trying all this time to get as much of the master plan implemented as possible feel like, crap, now everything is going to change, or anything can change. We'll have no say. The commissioners will just change it. And what are the standards for changing it? How do we even know what we're signing? Because we're basically agreeing to, you know, enter a game, the rules of which can be changed later by who knows why. And he's right to make that criticism.
Further confusion is generated in Section 7.2.A of the Purchase and Sales Agreement. Quote, purchaser will contract with DPZ Co-Design or another design firm to prepare an update to the DPZ design code. Update implies that undisclosed changes to the design code or master plan are imminent.
That's exactly right.
But they aren't revealed. What are those changes? Are they large? Nominal? What areas of the design code needs updating? Why not DPZ? Will the public be allowed to view and confer over these changes before contracts are signed? An important aspect of having a restrictive deed or covenant is having firm margins and boundaries in place. This describes moving goalposts. Why include a restrictive covenant if there is no firm ordinance or statute to anchor it?
Yeah. I mean, these concerns are extremely fair. Again, there's an element there. We understand maybe some things are going to have to change, but when it could be DPZ who did the original master plan, or it could be somebody else, and we don't really know who it is. We don't know what they're going to look at. We don't know the scope of the changes, small, medium, or large. It's hard to believe that what's written into the contract that's a deed restriction on development of the site has any teeth at all. When written into the same contract is the, you know, hey, no teeth. So good. I mean, fair concerns, especially after all of these years of what has felt like shenanigans by the board, and basically doing one thing, hokey pokeying a different direction, saying we're in, we're willing, we're not willing, you know, Chinese inspectioning the Beulah Town Center group, who eventually decided, you know, we're a couple hundred thousand dollars into this and we're obviously not going to be allowed to win. It's one take, okay? And a very understandable, like, we just can't do this anymore, we'll bow out. Okay, so, you know, last group standing, the Chad Henderson group, and nothing against them. I just think that, you know, the other group was the victims of, and Chad Henderson was the beneficiary of, certain commissioners just weren't willing to work with Red Hammer for perhaps legitimate, perhaps not legitimate reasons. I have theories about all this, but, you know, it's looked for the longest time like we're going to do whatever we want in order to make this outcome happen. Well, and they did. They outlasted. And again, this is not a mark against Chad Henderson. This is more a mark against the commissioners who made this all happen this way. Teresa Blackwell, who's long been fighting for, you know, the other side of the coin and really worked her heart out to invest in this project.
And another example of how that can play out is Milestone on Nine Mile Road.
She's talking about how you can kind of have the right intentions, but if you don't really have the detailed skills in order to implement good planning and make it produce the kinds of results you want, you get something like Houston talk about Milestone, where, you know, it seems to have the right elements-ish, but it doesn't produce the result you want.
They seem to have aimed for new urbanism principles, but the execution, the details, are what separates true urban planning from a more conventional architectural approach. I've never seen a more lonely town square. The very occasional dog walker. That's all you got there, Winton. What should be an active place?
Yeah, and I haven't been to Milestone a lot of times, but that fits my experience too. It seems cool, you know, but you don't really see groups of people getting together and activating the space. You say, well, why is that? Is it the people who live there? And nothing against Milestone. I mean, it's a fine enough place to live, but it's a kind of an opportunity failure. I've lived a lot of other places where I've seen different kinds of designs that did produce that kind of community behavior and activity. And, you know, is that a byproduct of design or residence? Well, she thinks it's design, and I don't have any reason to think she's wrong about that. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident we're dealing with. 98 and South Blue Angel. Fire truck and ambulance are on now on the scene. So just be aware of that. Just some minor delays associated with that. I-10, I-110 are back flowing smoothly. Even 98 and Highway 90 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So after the concerns were raised by a couple of members of the public, the last few who are willing to protest on all of this, Mike Kohler.
Board, that concludes all speakers. Do we have any discussion on this item tonight?
Not everybody at once.
Well, I'm surprised.
This
has been the most heated topic for 2.5 years.
So longer than that.
I think we paid at the company store, the company office for the. For the time, I think we have discussed it.
No, I think that's probably accurate. You know, after so many times discussing it, and you're down to one person or one group, and you guys all agree with that, what is there left to say except here we are?
I'm satisfied that the agreement that came, the most recent agreement that has come from their council, I'm satisfied with it to move forward, and I'm excited. I think it's a great thing, and I think we've got the right partner in place for what will be a transformational, a generational, long-term project out there. I couldn't be more excited.
You know, sometimes people can be excited and don't really show it.
Long-term project out there. I couldn't be more excited.
Not everybody displays excitement the same way. Stephen Barrick or Stephen Stroberger, it's his district one.
I agree with that. I think Chad has done a good job of, well, I wish it had happened faster, but what I talked about with you was, I think I needed this time, and I think that even when we first started this discussion with me on the board, I said that with time I might come up with a different decision, and with time I have come up with a different decision.
Yeah, because he was adamant. I mean, he was trenchant about making it be the Beulah Town Center folks, Fred Hemmer, and then now here we are.
I want to say thank you to Beulah Town Center. So, for their perseverance, they've been through a lot in this process. It's been a long, difficult process, and they've been with us from the beginning of this. They stuck with their commitment to the community, and they probably deserve a proclamation for their perseverance. So I want to thank them.
Thanks for playing and not winning. There's no money in it for you, but on your deathbed, you'll receive total consciousness. You know, like, that's, you know, they deserve a proclamation for putting up with us for all this time. He's not wrong, but I think they'd rather get a check, which they'll not get, you know, because I mean, again, I'm just guessing, but I'm guessing they're into this for a couple $100,000 at this point. I might be light on the estimate, frankly.
I've been on this board 2.5 years, and sometimes waiting is a good thing.
Yeah, time will tell.
But I agree with Commissioner Barry, and I'm glad to see you hopefully get this. I believe you're going to, and I really, really look forward to working with you and seeing what you come together. And if you guys want to say anything after we vote, you're more than welcome to come up. But you don't have to.
If you want to come up before we take a vote where you are almost certainly going to get the answer that you want, feel free. I mean, you don't have to speak.
It's a trap.
I would not have spoken before the vote. You're winning. Never talk when the sale is imminent.
Very quickly, that just,
you know,
if this were to move forward, that all the confidence that the community, you as leaders and commissioners have put in us, is not lost on us. And it's a great honor to try to move this project forward. And we realize that it's it takes capital and risk and hard work, but we're certainly willing to do this.
This is Chad Henderson, and he finishes up. And again, I just think it's like, you know, I really, when I was listening to this meeting, I was like, no, don't talk. You're about to get what you want. Don't run the risk of opening your mouth. I mean, he seems like a perfectly fine guy. I'm just, you know, that was my thought is what could happen? Because things happen.
So we don't take the confidence that you've placed in us and how important this is lightly. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chad.
So friendly advice, Chad, if you get the opportunity, wait to speak until after the vote's taken. If you get the opportunity again.
Stephen Barry's
so
right about that.
Have a change of heart. No.
That's always good advice.
That if this were to move forward.
I didn't say after the vote, but he took the opportunity, Commissioner Barry.
Uncomfortable jokes. It could change.
If you just move items A through D.
Move items A through D.
Perfect. Second. That will take care of all of these issues.
Yeah, Steve Stroger tried to like say a bunch of, like read out all of the A's and the conditions and everything else, and Allison Rogers was like, just move A through D. It'll be fine.
And then I heard Commissioner Barry second.
Do we all want to like take an operational pause before we vote?
Please vote. Vote passes 5-0. Congratulations. Thank you.
As much as I have concerns, and a lot of people have concerns about what's eventually going to happen there, this really is a hallelujah moment. I mean, the contract is done. $42.5 million if it all pans out. Houses and town squares and businesses and jobs if it all pans out, and maybe a school, you know. Who knows? If it all pans out, maybe. Now, the only question, there are two questions. Number one, did we make money in the deal? Because a lot has been made about how we were $17 million into this and we're getting, you know, 42 and a half out. That seems like about a $24, $25 million profit. But when was the money put in? Roughly a decade ago, I think. Maybe not quite that long. Maybe 6 years. Anyway, and now if we get the money paid out, and it's not going to be immediate, right? It's going to be over time, I think. Well, you know, 2019, let's say, dollars are not 2025 dollars. And not just the dollar, you know, general inflation, but particularly in the construction field, prices haven't just gone up by, you know, 30%. They've like doubled, I mean, or tripled. Like, it's ridiculous out there. So if we had a project that we could have spent $5 million on, let's say, 10 years ago, but instead we put that $5 million into the site conversion for the Santa Rosa property that we traded with the Navy for OLF-8, and then we waited, and now we're going to get paid out. Let's say we get $10 million back off that $5 million, and maybe even a little bit more. Let's say $12 million to do the ratio right. And now we go do that same project today. Well, if that same project costs $14 million, we're actually down to, and we didn't have the benefit of the thing being done for 7 years, right? So I'm not convinced this is the great windfall that it's probably going to get spun as, but it's good. I mean, it's good. And fingers crossed, hopefully it develops into a great thing, and we all love it. And whenever things actually happen out there, maybe 15 years from now. I mean, I'm hoping they get started pretty soon, but I'm just cautious because I have seen other projects that predate me coming to town 11 years ago, and, you know, like the Tech Park, like Community Maritime Park, which is finally seeming to be on the verge of really happening, or like Old Stinky, or, you know, Midtown Commerce Park, or, you know, we've seen some tedious pace on some of these things, or it could be fantastic. I don't, you know, time will tell. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, you have a prediction? When do we see the first actual building completed on OLF-8?
Oh, that's 5 years down the road.
I think so, too. I think that's probably about right. All right, traffic. Oh, no, sorry, not quite traffic on the fives. If you're thinking, speaking of homes, if you're thinking about buying or selling and you want somebody who understands all of this stuff and understands design code and new urbanism and just in general, you know, what works, what makes a place more or less desirable and livable, and, you know, how to ask the right questions. Because it's funny, we all go buy a house, and then a lot of times we kind of think we're the expert because we like how that, okay, but the realtor is there to help you not just make a better deal and safeguard your interests and get you through to closing, but to help you ask better questions. I mean, a great realtor will help you ask questions to make sure that you're getting what you want, or that, you know, either in the sell or in the acquire process. So that's why you want a good realtor, especially somebody who sells a lot of homes. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty, 165 homes sold last year, 175 sold the year before that. So they definitely have a lot of experience, and they can help you make great decisions and get great results, which is what you want ultimately. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are back to rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, Highway 29 are all rolling smoothly this morning so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com or call 934-2768.
June 13th through June 29th, Pensacola Little Theater presents Camelot, a timeless musical that transports audiences to the legendary kingdom of King Arthur, his beloved Queen Guinevere, and the valiant Knights of the Round Table. Filled with romance, chivalry, and the pursuit of an idealized society, the story explores themes of honor, betrayal, and the struggle to maintain peace in a world rife with conflict. Secure your tickets for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Love that sound. That one sound is so soul refreshing.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the
Just enjoying a little Beach Boys music this morning as we remember Brian Wilson, who passed away at the age of 82. I guess his estate and stuff has been in conservatorship for at least a year, so this is not exactly an unexpected thing, but and I mean, very, you know, challenging life with a lot of problems, and if you don't know the story, a lot of things that he suffered in addition to being an incredible musician, right, and producing all this music that we love all this time. 629 on News Radio 92.3. I do not consider myself a Beach Boys expert, but I was reading, I guess he was not even on Kokomo, so we won't play that one. but like he was out of the band at that point or whatever. So, or not involved. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Still no word on fatalities after that plane crash in India. The plane was carrying more than 200 people when it went down.
What we know so far from local authorities and Air India is that a Boeing 787 operated by Air India, which is the country's flag carrier, crashed into a residential area near the airport shortly after taking off.
That is NBC's Claudio Lavanga. The flight, again, a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, was bound for London, crashed as it was taking off from the airport in Ahmedabad. The State Department is ordering non-essential staff to leave the embassy in Iraq as tensions have flared up between the U.S. and Iran. Staff members are also being told to leave embassies in Kuwait and Bahrain. That order coming in yesterday after Iran threatened to target U.S. military bases in the Middle East.
John, have you been on a 787?
I sure have. Came back from London on it.
Okay. Gorgeous plane, looks
oh,
like, on the inside.
Beautiful on the inside.
And it's I was curious how it compared to the 747 because it's a two-aisle, you know, three-seating. But it's the 747 is usually 242, and it's 232.
Yes.
So pretty close. And I was looking at the inside. Beautiful. They made it a little more of a arched ceiling, so it
right.
feels much more open than the kind of flat ceiling sort of feel.
I'm Therese Crowley. Smoking wreckage in an air disaster. A Boeing 787 Dreamliner, fully fueled for a flight to London with over 240 aboard, crashed shortly after takeoff from India, right into a city residential neighborhood in Ahmedabad. Wreckage embedded in buildings with a search for survivors. The U.S. ordering non-essential personnel to evacuate the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad as tensions with Iran rise and President Trump less confident about reaching a nuclear deal with Iran. L.A. City Hall, the target, but largely quiet night, backed up by a curfew, National Guard, L.A. police, and prosecutions of violent anti-ICE protesters.
Hurling bricks, hurling cinder blocks, hurling fireworks will not be tolerated in this county. Now, or ever.
D.A. Nathan Hochman with some attempted murder charges. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 73 degrees. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. A 35-year-old man is accused of luring a boy over social media, then sexually battering him. Police say Rashad Supan was arrested Friday on multiple charges. He's accused of lying about his age on Snapchat to lure a minor to meet up with him for sex. Supan then allegedly picked that minor up in his vehicle. The boy said, during their encounter, he performed actions against his will. Subhan faces a litany of charges, including lewd and lascivious battery on a victim between 12 and 16, and several charges related to using a phone or a computer to lure the boy. He's being held on $150,000 bond at the Santa Rosa County Jail. Immigration enforcement operations continue in southwest Alabama. Nine people were arrested in the Mobile area yesterday, and that follows 15 arrests earlier this week in Baldwin County. The operations were carried out by a task force comprised of agents from the FBI, Homeland Security, ATF, DEA, Border Patrol, U.S. Marshals, and other agencies. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed off on a law to provide medical benefits for law enforcement officers injured on the job. Austin Price has more on this story.
The law was inspired by the case of Citrus County Sheriff's Deputy Andy LaHara. LaHara had been severely injured while directing traffic at a graduation 2 years ago, and as he was recovering, his family learned that he could eventually lose his medical insurance. This was due to the law at the time, which provided medical benefits to families of officers killed in the line of duty, but not to officers who survived near-death experiences in the line of duty. The new law had passed unanimously in both the House and Senate. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Florida's seen a significant decline in abortions from last year. State data shows 17,377 abortions were reported as of June 2nd. And that is 45% less than a comparable period in 2024. The decrease comes after a law was enacted May of last year that prohibits most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The majority of this year's cases occurred in the first trimester. Just over 100 were second trimester procedures with reasons including fatal abnormalities and serious health conditions for the women involved. An arrest has been made in the fatal shooting at the Pensacola Village Apartments in May. PPD says 34-year-old Antonio Demetrius Ewing was taken into custody yesterday by U.S. Marshals in Tallahassee. Officials believe he shot a man at the apartment complex May 30th. PPD has not released any details on the investigation. Ewing will be extradited from Leon to Escambia County. Jail records show that Ewing has been arrested multiple times in Escambia County since 2018. Some of the charges include vehicle theft, drug possession, and hit and run. And he also served a 3-year prison sentence for drug and obstruction charges. He'd just been released on that in January. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available, whitesandselectric.com. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 29, Highway 90, 9 Mile are all flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John, and our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have about a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Keeping that rain chance around on Saturday with a 60% chance of rain and a high near 88 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. It is 73 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 7 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Air India Flight 171 crashed shortly after takeoff in western India. That's according to Flight Path Data. There were 242 passengers and crew aboard the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. The cause of the crash is not immediately known and could take months to determine. Meta said it is suing a company that ran ads on its services to promote an app that lets people create non-consensual, sexualized images of others using AI technology. The lawsuit is against Joy Timeline HK Limited, which used Meta ads to promote Crush AI. Autonomous vehicles and robotics are going to take off in a big way in the years ahead. That's according to NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. Self-driving cars are being spotted more frequently in the U.S. and China, although Europe is yet to see significant adoption. NVIDIA sells both hardware and software solutions for self-driving vehicles. Futures are moderately lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 1, the NASDAQ down 99. That's your money now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Need an affordable medical clinic?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a walk-in or same-day appointment?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a $45 zero copay medical plan?
Go to ProHealthFL.com. ProHealth has always been known for being Pensacola's most trusted and affordable clinic and lab, but now ProHealth offers over 30 affordable ultrasounds too. You never need a doctor's order, and ProHealth allows you to pay with HSA or FSA funds for all their services. You can even schedule yourself at ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. Culver's Butter Burger begins as fresh, never frozen beef, seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. And now featuring cod sandwiches and dinners. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is available with DoorDash and Uber Eats, and curbside service is now available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boy.
Mary Autry has served Escambia County as a custodial worker with the Facilities Management Department very faithfully for 29 years. Mary was hired in February 19th, 1996. That's the 1900s. Do you realize that?
Be nice.
As a custodial worker. Mary spent the majority of her 29 years working in the Ernie Lee McGahey building and the M.C. Blanchard Judicial Building.
Actually, it turns out just in the Blanchard Building, apparently. But Mary Autry getting celebrated for her retirement from Escambia County as a custodian at the Blanchard Judicial Building. And I didn't ever catch who the people who were speaking here until she speaks, but I just am sometimes amazed by the caliber of character, the sweetness of soul of some of the people who work in, you know, our governments. And I just, it's, I don't know, it makes me happy. And so, you know, might not necessarily get a big write-up in the paper or whatever, but I feel like I can share this with you. Mary Autry, again, 29 years, and talking about her, and then you'll hear from her in just a second as her retirement's basically already happened. Her, you know, her party already happened.
Oh, Mary, I'd make this short and sweet, but when she started here, I was 29 years old. I'm not 29 years old anymore. But we had a luncheon for Mary last week, and it was amazing to see the amount of love and respect that she had just as a person. I spoke to a lot of people in the room, and it was one of those things where you ask them, you know, what made Mary special? Mary does what she says she's going to do, and she's always going to be there if you need her. And that come from just the staff. Yeah. That wasn't even the judges and everybody else that showed up that, you know, congratulated her. And so 29 years is hard to find people like you, and we definitely appreciate you for what you've done.
You know, you can easily imagine somebody who's a custodian working at a place and then retiring and kind of nobody notices. And then you can also imagine a person who has such an impact on other people just through whatever little interactions they might have that everybody shows up to the party when you leave, including, you know, the judges, right? Not just the other employees, so to speak, but the, you know, the lawyers, the judges, everybody who knows you. And what you did that whole time was you kept the building in good order. Can I tell you, you know, one of the things I like to do every once in a while, I don't do it all the time, but, you know, we thank cops, we thank firefighters, we thank military. I like to thank the people who are cleaning stuff up. I don't know if they like it or not. They probably feel weird about it. I do a lot of weird things, but I just always like to tell people, you know, hey, thanks for keeping it clean. And I, you know, you got to mean it. And I do, because I think without those folks, you know, things would be a mess, and you know what it's like when it's a mess. And so, I mean, I appreciate what they do. But of course, Mary, not somebody who's necessarily used to public speaking, getting celebrated like this. And oh man, this is okay. Here you go. You ready? You're going to like this.
Thank you, Mary. Mary, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I'd just like to say, first and foremost, I want to give thanks to God, who the head of my life. And I just want to thank everybody for the years that I've been here, and the commissioners and the part they played, my coworkers, my supervisors, and I just, it's been ups and it's been down, but through it all, I made it. So I just want to thank everybody.
Good job. Thank you for your service, ma'am.
Oh, more people like this. You know, more people like this. I just, just adorable. You know, we also had the county commission did a proclamation celebration of the life of Reverend H.K. Matthews, who has had some very serious health issues recently. Lumen May reading the proclamation.
Thank you, Allison. Whereas Reverend Howard Conrad Matthews was born on February 7, 1928 in Snow Hill, Alabama, and was raised by his grandmother. He graduated from Snow Hill Institute in Wilcox County, Alabama, and graduated a bachelor's degree from A&M University in Huntsville, Alabama, whereas he began his civil rights crusade in the late 1950s after arriving in Pensacola, Florida in 1965. He marched over the Edmund Pettus Bridge with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, for voting rights.
And if you don't, I mean, the Reverend Matthews has been, that floored me because I, you know, yeah, okay, marched with Dr. King. You know, that's kind of an amazing place to begin your career in civil rights activism.
Whereas throughout the 1960s and 70s, he organized successful boycotts of sit-ins at segregated lunch counters right here on Palafox Street, as well as in Montgomery, Alabama. When boycotting public schools, he organized freedom schools in homes and churches to allow African-American children the access to education. Whereas despite being jailed, threatened numerous times, Reverend Matthews drew on his everlasting faith and his time in the Korean War, persevering against the odds to expand civil rights for African-Americans in southwestern Alabama, northwest Florida.
And an absolute legacy of working in this arena. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're on Highway 29 approaching 10 Mile Road southbound, you might see just some minor delay, and that's all I'm seeing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very good, John. Thanks so much. Back to the proclamation being given by Commissioner Lumen May on behalf of Reverend H.K. Matthews, who, as I say, is very ill right now, but celebrating him while we still have him with us and hopefully for a long time. But, of course, we're all worried about the alternative.
Whereas Reverend Matthews has received numerous awards and accolades for his contributions, the most pivotal one was his 2014 acceptance into the Florida Civil Rights Hall of Fame. Whereas for Reverend Matthews, this was never about recognition as a leader, but a desire to fight for a better world and glorify God for all of our community. Now, therefore, it be proclaimed that the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County urges residents to commemorate the contributions of Reverend H.K. Matthews towards African-American civil rights in Escambia County, Florida, Alabama, Conecuh County, and Evergreen, Alabama.
Absolutely. And now Ellison Bennett, who Ellison has really gone out of his way in the time that I have been here to be helpful to be to me, to be, you know, available, calls in a lot, at least used to call in a lot, and another, you know, long-serving civil rights advocate and activist. And he was there talking, and he's pretty emotional, and I can understand why.
Commissioner Kolar said, I'm not Reverend Matthews. He's honored. He's in his right mind, but
good
health issues. He wanted to be here tonight. I spoke with his wife this morning. Yesterday was a bad day for him. I wouldn't describe the health issues. He's 97 years old. His mind is sharp, but his body is beginning to fail. Thank you for this proclamation.
You're welcome, Elson, and thanks for your comments.
So I'm a big believer in celebrating people who do good things, remembering people, honoring them. You know, they don't do it for that reason. And, there, you know, there's a lot of people who go uncelebrated who still do good things. But, you know, I think we could all aspire to live a life that maybe does enough good that other people want to you know, celebrate and proclaim and remember and honor and cry. You know, it's like I always say about when, you know, a celebrity leaves us and they made a, you know, they made a difference in our lives. We're sad about losing them. Well, you know, being sad about losing somebody is a tribute to the role they played, the impact they had. And certainly, and H.K. Matthews, and just if you're just tuning in, He is still with us, but it's 97 with very, very serious health issues, as you could hear from Allison Bennett. You know, let's celebrate him while he's here. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, just a couple of notes that to me make this a little bit more poignant is 1963, this day in history. This was the day in history when Medgar Evers was murdered in front of his home in Jackson, Mississippi by Klan members during the Civil Rights Movement. You know, a contemporary, obviously, of King's, and I don't know if Reverend Matthews knew him or not, but, you know, we talked about this the other day. There's a ship supposed to be named for him, and now it looks like they might not name that ship for him, and I find that horribly offensive because that's a very, I mean, that's an American hero. The other thing that it makes me think of is the protests, like the lunch counter protests and the bus protests and the marches and things that took place back then, and some of the activities that we've seen more recently, like over what's going on in L.A. and elsewhere. You want to engage in civil disobedience along the lines of what Martin Luther King Jr. wrote about? Outstanding. Influenced by Gandhi, clearly. I mean, very much this idea of honoring the law by breaking the law in order to hold people to a higher concept of law. You know, King's whole vision was that, you know, as Christians, you should do better. And we will honor your authority by breaking your authority. There was actually a lot of debate. You remember the letter from a Birmingham jail was written to other ministers who were criticizing him for breaking the law. You're violating Romans 13, the duty to be subject to the authorities. And he said, well, civil disobedience is a respect of authority, meanwhile also honoring the higher authority to which those authorities are supposed to align. Just like the Declaration of Independence, you know, is the idea is, you know, there's a long conversation. You know, how dare you break the authority of the king? The Bible says obey. Well, there's also a higher law, and there are other standards to which we have even higher allegiance than political loyalty. So the idea of lawlessness is absolutely at odds with what the civil rights movement in this country practiced, stood for, preached, and, I mean, in the face of horrific violence and oppression, right? And that's what won. What won for the civil rights movement was that willingness to suffer productively. And part of the reason that you have less effectiveness for some of the more recent efforts to engage in civil protest is precisely because when you're destroying, well, in the case of Ferguson, buildings, or in the case of LA, when you're destroying Waymo cars and some police cars, and when you're attacking the police, you know, that violent element makes it so that you're completely unpersuasive. It's the nonviolent, direct action, civil disobedience, break the rule to prove the rule is unjust, force people with a conscience to have to enforce a rule that they can see for themselves is unjust when they're enforcing it. That's what works. That's what makes your cause meaningful and, you know, gets attention. This stuff doesn't. And it's an interesting contrast to compare the two strategies. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now repeat after me.
I.
Your name?
Your name.
Schmucks.
All day, yes, all day. .655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Of course, honoring the musical contributions of Brian Wilson, who's passed away at the age of 82. All Beach Boys bumpers on the ones I control. All Beach Boys bumpers on the ones I control. You don't have to do that, John. Just, you know, the ones I do. So... 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
And I don't want to repeat or take one of yours away, you know, because you're special. All right. Brought to you by
Hanks.
Insect Pest and Lawn. Make your outdoor space summer ready. Get $50 off new mosquito or fire ant control service. Visit insect.net today. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays on the map right now. 90, 98, Highway 29, 9 Mile. They're all looking good this morning. I'm proud of you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Good job, people. Good job. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I got to say, all the Beach Boys music has been nice this morning.
Isn't it great?
It's
a totally different vibe, right?
Absolutely. The State Department is ordering all non-essential staff to leave the embassy in Iraq as tensions have been flaring up between the U.S. and Iran. Staff members are also being told to leave U.S. embassies in Kuwait and Bahrain. That order coming in yesterday after Iran threatened to target U.S. military bases in the Middle East. A federal judge will be hearing California's lawsuit against the Trump administration today after nearly a week of steady anti-ICE protests. The state sued the federal government on Monday, trying to block its deployment of the military in Los Angeles. President Trump has federalized thousands of California National Guard troops against Governor Gavin Newsom's wishes. He also sent hundreds of Marines to be ready to assist. And... The protests have been ongoing now for about a week almost, but protests apparently are being planned all across the country for this coming Saturday. These are being called No King's Day protests, and they're planned in over 1,800 communities across the nation. President Trump has warned potential protesters not to interfere with plans for the large military parade in Washington, D.C.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John, I thought this was actually kind of an interesting note. You're going to get this wrong, so you ready?
No, because the...
Branca Cemetery, 196 years young, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost as old as NAS Pensacola, right? Or some version of what was NAS Pensacola. How many interments do we have at Branca's, let's say, I don't know, in a year, if you had to guess? What does it feel like to you?
300?
Okay. All right. Here's Steve Stroberger, who's, you know, retired Navy.
Brancas National Cemetery is 196 years old. In 4 years, they'll be celebrating 200 years. The cemetery's first burial was in April 1829. And I think we bury 6 to 8. Is that right? 6 to 8 veterans.
Oh, yeah. A day at
Brancas. Every day at Brancas.
A day.
Wow. Wow.
Right? So in the vicinity of 2,000 a year, 2,500 a year? I had no idea. I mean, I actually thought it was much less than even 300. I thought of it as being relatively rare, rarer than that. So, yeah, I was stunned to find that.
There was a representative from the Defense POW MAI.
MIA, he means.
Accounting agency at Brancas that day. And she said there are more than 81,000 military personnel that are still unaccounted for. 81,000.
Man, that's an enormous number. That is such a big number from various conflicts, wars, not just Vietnam, obviously, but from various ones. But yeah, 6 or 7 a day. And again, I had no idea that it was that frequent. So I appreciate him sharing that information.